Let's prepare our hearts today. We're going to start a series called The Call. The Call. And it's finding God's plan for your life. And what would you tell me, or what would your response be, if I told you that God had a call on your life? See, a lot of times that's kind of preacher lingo. That means that God's called you into full-time ministry or something like that. But we're going to unravel this a little bit more and just kind of see really what Scripture kind of talks about. I think we'd all probably agree that when we became a Christian, that God called us out of something. You know, He called us out of sin. He called us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the marvelous light. But once we get into that kingdom of light, what is it we're supposed to be doing? I mean, do we just wait around to die to go to heaven? I mean, that's kind of the way that sometimes we mistakenly take what God's plan is for our life. But I believe that we need to find out what God has called us into. And I want us to think about something. Does God have a specific plan for your life? Does He have a specific plan for you to do? Or is it just kind of a generalized, we all kind of head the same direction and then just hope for the best? Well, we're going to kind of unravel that a little bit and just kind of see. The thought that I want us to think about today is never forget the God factor working in your life. Never forget the God factor. And see, that's our goal as we go through this life, and especially as we come into a church building where we have a corporate anointing, you know, where we all bring God to church, right? This is Bring God to Church Day. You know what I mean? That's what Sunday is. Bring God to Church Day, because God already lives inside of us. So Bring God to Church Day, when we do that, is the fact that then, you know, we kind of, you know, we sing with our whole heart, and we focus with our whole mind, and we make our body a living sacrifice, and then we get into that corporate anointing, and we feel the presence of God. But what about when we leave this place and we go out into the world? Does that mean we leave God's presence, or we don't feel Him like that, or find out really what God, you know, wants for us to do? We just kind of wander aimlessly through life. And I believe that God has a better plan for you and I. I believe that we don't have to wander aimlessly, but we can actually be able to walk step by step, you know, with our Creator into the plan that He's had for us. First scripture we're going to look at three scriptures today, is found in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 14. Matthew 22 and verse 14. I read from the New American Standard. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your power, for Your anointing, for Your unction, for the Spirit of God to be moving in our hearts and in our midst today. We thank You, Lord, that we just set aside this time and we sanctify it, that we want to receive whatever the Holy Spirit has for us here today. Lord, I thank You for the call on my life and what You've called me into. Lord, I yield to that gift that You put inside of me, Lord. Lord, I use that gift for Your glory and not my own. Lord, I bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our hearts. And Lord, I also pray just for a release right now of Your spiritual gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, many are called, or some believe the word many is talking about all are called, but few are chosen. Have you ever wondered why everybody's called, but not everybody gets chosen? You know, have you ever showed up maybe to go play a game and, you know, they were picking teams and you just stood there and they just picked everybody else around you? And then the worst thing happens. There's an odd number of people. And you're left out and you don't get to be on a team. And see, that is very difficult to handle in the process, especially as a young person. Well, I think sometimes Christians sometimes kind of wonder also, you know, the Bible says all are called, but few are chosen. It seems like God can use somebody else, but God can't use me. I'm just not good enough. That was an old joke when the boys were growing up playing soccer. when they were out on the field and let's say you smoked somebody and you went by them and scored or something like that, and when they walked by their opponent, they said, you just ain't good enough. You know, just trash talking a little bit. But see, that's what the devil does to our mind. He trash talks our mind. And he tries to get us to hold back and wonder why it seems like other people are chosen by God, but it just doesn't seem like I am. So our first point we're going to look at today is the difference between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. And this passage here in Matthew 22:14, we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to explain a little bit, and if you want, I encourage you to go back through it and kind of cipher through it a little bit. But it's talking about a wedding feast that the king was throwing and for his son, and he was inviting everybody to come. And we're going to break that down. So what I want us to see is that when it talks about all are called, meaning that everybody gets an invitation. Everybody gets an invitation to this wedding feast. But few get chosen. Because chosen is talking about the election, meaning obedience to the invitation. Now that word election, when you say that, my goal is to do a little more teaching this year a little bit and try to explain a few things that I feel that we need to know as a Christian. Now that word election is kind of a dicey term, especially in the body of Christ, because you have, you know, varying views, shall we say, of what that means. Now some mean, you know, if you're, you know, into Calvinism and things like that, they believe that election means that God chose you to be saved and you really didn't have any choice in the matter. But with saying that if God doesn't choose you, you can't get saved at all. We're not a Calvinist church. We believe that whosoever will. That God has given us each the call, the invitation to come into His kingdom. And then we must respond to that call. So the ones that really get chosen are the ones who are obedient to that invitation. Now, as we look at this wedding feast, have you ever filled out an invitation to a wedding and they want to RSVP you? So you say, yeah, I'm going to go. And maybe you really in your heart didn't really think you was going to go, but you just didn't want to say no and you didn't figure they'd miss you. You know what I'm saying? So you check the box that I'll be there. I'm going to your wedding. But then when things come up, something better comes along. Huh? That's what happens sometimes. You know, we feel that something funner comes along, so we don't want to go to that. And what happens in this story they're talking about, see, in this culture, and this passage, this story about the feast was mentioned a couple times in Scripture, I think, you know, in Matthew, and I think it was in Luke. But it's talking about what back in this culture, they didn't have the mail system like we did. So if they were going to throw a party, they would send people out. The slaves would go out, and they would tell everybody, hey, my master's son's getting married. We're going to have a wedding feast. You're invited. And they would say, yeah, sure, I'll come. I'll come. I'll be there. Well, that's what happened here. They sent out people and they said they would come. But then at the time of the wedding, it was all ready. So they killed the ox and, you know, they didn't have refrigerators. You know what I'm saying? So when you made a meal, you about had to eat it. You couldn't just put it in the fridge for a while. So they had this big feast all prepared, and they sent the slaves out, and they said, you know, it's time. And some of them said, oh, I can't come now. I'm too busy. I got stuff going on. You know, they didn't respond to the call. And see, there's a couple things this kind of means. It's talking about the nation of Israel a little bit, how they rejected the Messiah, because this passage goes on into saying how they, you know, even put some of the slaves to death, and that's how they killed, martyred, you know, many of the apostles, and some of the prophets laid their lives down to get the message of God out. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that's just how it went. But, you know, it talked about these people. They said, oh, and in Luke it also mentions it. You know, I said, oh, I'm busy. I got a field, or I got to do my business. I just got stuff going on. I can't respond, you know, to that call. And see, that's what was happening here. But everybody was called, but few are chosen. So then what the master did, he said, all right. Or the king's who it was. I can't believe they reject the king. You know, but then the king says, go out and get these other people. And so they got the people who were somewhat, you know, the society would look at as lower class. And they brought all them in. And then after that, hey, there's still room. And the king said, go out into the highways and byways and bring more in. And really, that's a picture of us Gentiles. See, we're not of the nation of Israel. We weren't technically the chosen ones in the beginning, but now God has chosen us. So I want you to know that you are chosen by God. And see, when they brought all these people in, you know, and did that, you know, then the king, what I liked about it was kind of interesting that all these people came in and they were kind of the, you know, I don't want to say it wrong, but they were the lower class of society. And what the king did when they came to the party is that he gave them wedding garments. So everybody in the feast had the same clothes. So nobody stood out like a sore thumb in the sense where they looked like they didn't belong there. You know what I mean? And see, that's a picture of what God does to you and I. You know, and this is what we have to get our head wrapped around, that maybe you didn't think you were good enough to be used by God. But see, when we're called by God and we receive that call and we're obedient, God then puts his clothes on us, and that's the clothes of righteousness. His righteousness puts on side of us. Even though we come in and the Bible says in Isaiah that our righteousness is like filthy rags compared to God. But then God puts that on us. So God makes us all right with him so that we can serve him. So don't think, and that's what the glory is about the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you're not the richest person or the most highfalutin person in the community, but you can come into the church and God can place a gift inside of you that puts you in a leadership position where that puts you over maybe and leading people who maybe have a lot more than you have. Because God doesn't look at what you have. God looks at your heart. And he looks at what you can do for him because of your heart for him. And that's what we need to see, that when we feel that we're called by God. Now, always there's somebody that kind of tries to stick out a little bit and do their own thing. It also says that even after this call, that somebody came in, but they didn't wear the wedding garments that the king provided. They wore their own clothes. And there's always somebody that tries to do it their way. And see, God does not appreciate that. Matter of fact, it says that that person was thrown out, you know, of the wedding, because it just wasn't the way that God wanted, because they tried to come in with their own righteousness. And that's something that we need to be careful of, because, you know, as we do it, you know, we need to make sure that we do it God's way. And that's why we never need to forget the God factor working in our life. None of us are good enough without God, but with God, we're good enough for anything. No matter what God's called you into doing, you're good enough when you come in and you do it that way. Now, there's a difference between, you know, being self-righteous and the righteousness of God. And that's why we need to make sure that we are born again, and the fact that we admit the fact that it's got to be God working in us and God working through us. And if you do that, that qualifies you to be in the calling of God. And that leads me to my next step of what I want to look at. It's found in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And it said, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Now, what I want us to see with this passage is that the right place and the right time. You know, we're in the right place at the right time. Now, I have to, you know, I kind of wonder about this in my own life sometimes, because with my philosophies and views, technically, in my opinion, I should have been a pastor 30 or 40 years ago. I would have fit into that mold a lot better, you know, than maybe today. You know, I know I'm not a hipster and all this cool stuff. You know, I just try to stick with the Bible, you know, those kind of things. So I'm really a generation behind, but evidently God wanted me here. God wanted to be a part of this generation, to be able to take this generation for Jesus Christ. And that's why we do what we do, to try to reach the young people, to try to turn this situation around. Because we have to accept the fact that we're not here by chance and we're not here by accident. You are not a mistake. God knows the time and the appointed time for when you're supposed to be on the face of the earth here. And he put you here for a reason. See, Almighty God has infinite wisdom put you on this planet for a purpose, and we need to see that. You know, I don't know how many people have come to me since I've been a pastor and said, you know, I just don't know if I have a purpose. I just don't know why I'm here. I don't know really know what God wants for me to do. You know, I know that's a thing that we all kind of struggle with in our head, but that's why we just got to come back to the fact that we know that God does not make mistakes. He has never made a mistake. And God put you here at this time for a reason. And you need to first take joy in that. Because only when we get right with our Creator will our life start to have real meaning. I don't know about you, but life has to have meaning. To me, it's always more than just making money. It's more than just doing different things like this, you know. God has to have more, you know. And I know I was talking to a young people a couple months ago, and they were telling me, you know, and, you know, they were struggling with decisions in life and what is it they want to do with their life. You know, they're in the beginning stages of just getting out of the house and, you know, maybe going to college or going doing things. And they just says, you know, and just impressed me. They said, you know, I just don't want to do something basic. I want to do something big. I want my life to have meaning. I want my life to make a difference in this world. And see, we have to see that God has put that inside of us, that we're not here by chance, but God has placed us here, and He wants us to understand what it means to have a life with meaning, and that's making a difference in the world around us. And I don't believe there's anybody on this planet whose life is not important to God. Everybody's life is important to God. And that's why we need to understand the fact that, you know, our Creator has a great plan for us. And God put us here at the right time. You know, we need to make sure that we're living on purpose and not by chance. You know, life really goes by pretty fast. I don't know about you. We have a small window in eternity to get it right. Now, what helps me to kind of figure this out a little bit, you know, if you picture a string or a line stretched out, and then you put a little dot on that string or that line, and that's our life. Now, when you zoom into that dot with a microscope, it looks really big. And see, that's how sometimes we see life, you know, and we don't see the big picture. But if you zoom out from that and you look at it, that dot is just a little speck in that line. And see, that's the big picture. And that's what we need to kind of see from time to time is the fact that, hey, you know, I just have a short window here. I really need to get this right. You know, God has a plan for my life. Like I said, what led me to God was the fact that I knew that there had to be more to life than what I was doing. And I was doing all the fun stuff back at that time. But it was never enough. And I knew that I only had this life to live. You know, there is no reincarnation. There is none of these other things. You know, and so that's why we need to make sure that we get it right what we're doing right now. And really seeking God. And if you're here today, you're going about it the right way. You're seeking after God. You're wanting God to speak into your life. You should always want God to talk to you and to reveal things to you, so that you can know His plan. And then last in this point, we need to look and see that God has put us here in this place. Think about it. Of all the countries in the world, God put you here. How many is glad for that? I am. You know, I'm not going to sing I'm proud to be an American right now. I'll spare you that. But I'm glad that God put me here in this place. We enjoy a lot of great things in this country. Oh yes, there's some things I'd rather wasn't there. But primarily, we need to see that God has put you here. And so that settles us a little bit, you know that we're doing where God put us. And we need to, you know, what I feel is that we need to put roots down. You need to grow where you're planted. You know, what would it be like if you, I don't know, if maybe some of you have done some gardening, or maybe you've tried to grow flowers. You know, I'm not much on flowers myself. If you can't eat them, why grow them? You know what I'm saying? But I digress. You know, I'm kind of that way. But, you know, what would it be like if you planted something, you waited a few days, and then you dug it up and you moved it somewhere else? Some roots never got a chance to grow. And you keep doing that. That plant's going to be stunted. It's not going to grow. It might even die because it keeps moving. It doesn't really settle down. It doesn't get its roots down into the dirt where it can really grow nourishment and become strong and tall. And see, that's why we need to know that we need to grow where we're planted. Wherever you're at right now, you need to put your roots down until God transplants you and moves you somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? And if we do that, then we start to see God's plan. And see, that's when we start to maybe zoom out and we start to see the bigger picture of really what God wants to do through us on this earth. And it's important that we find that out because God has such a great plan for your life. And you know, and I know that we go through stuff. I know that stuff just doesn't happen the way that we want it all the time. And sometimes it maybe seems that, you know, life is hard. But you know, we need to also just rest in the fact that we serve a mighty God. And our God has a great plan for us. And all we have to do is just primarily pay attention to what's going on. And if we do that, then God's going to reveal himself to us in a great way. And I'll be honest, I'm just throwing this out. And I know, oh, you're a pastor, you're going to say that, you got to. Stay connected to church. Get involved in some of our smaller group things. You know, get involved. That's how you find things out. You know, I know when I started out, I got involved in about everything. And I found out, you know, and through that experimentation, I found out really kind of which way God was leading me and what God wanted me to do to try to make a difference in the world. But see, unless I stepped out and I investigated, see, God called, he gave me an invitation. Come in. But then in obedience, we have to respond to that invitation. And obedience means doing what God says and following his way. I don't know about you, but I had my life all planned out. I knew what I wanted before I got saved within reason. I knew I wanted to grow maybe a big electrical business and, you know, do all these things. And, you know, that was my plan. That's what I tried to do. So what did I do? I went and started to be an electrician and I paid attention. I tried to learn how to read blueprints. I learned how to run jobs. I, you know, did all these things to prepare myself to launch. But then God intervened in my life. And he didn't take that away and say, no, you can't do that. But he gave me this choice. And that was to follow him a different direction. He didn't make me do that. He gave me a choice to do that. Well, then me being the businessman, I started weighing things out. And to be honest, you know, I was looking to be complete. And so when I started to do the things of God, I started to find greater fulfillment, which amazed me beyond all I could ever ask or think, because I'll be honest, I loved being an electrician. I loved to fix things and to find out when something's broke and, you know, all these things. And it brought some fulfillment to my life. But I found out through experimentation of following God and the call that I felt, the invitation that he put on me, I found greater fulfillment in what that was. So, you know, and to be honest, you don't have to leave your secular job to be, you know, in a ministry job. We do ministry wherever we go. But I'm just saying it's all about perspective. So, and I really feel that, you know, and then when God puts us in a place, if it's time, he'll move us. I mean, I was in Iowa, and then I knew that God was doing something inside of me because I was dying here. Or mainly, no, let me reword that. I wasn't dying. I was killing myself. You know what I mean? I was involved in things that were destructive to my life. And no matter how much I tried to shake it, I just really couldn't do it. And so for whatever reason, God, you know, gave me a desire to go to Denver. So I did that. You know, just loaded up the truck and moved to Denver, you know, like the Beverly Hillbillies almost. And I had an El Camino. It wasn't quite as bad as their truck. But, you know, went out there and we lived for a while. And then I experimented with some things. And all of a sudden, you know, God led me to the church where I ended up getting saved and going to Bible school. And see, that was God's sovereign hand upon my life. He put in me a desire that it was time to move away. And I always knew that God had a call on my life. I always knew when he delivered me from death so many times in my life. I knew that God must have something for me to do. I don't know what it is. And I'll be honest, I never thought it would be a pastor. I didn't ever want to do that. But, you know, I'm just going to follow God. And so I did. And through a process of him teaching and showing me, revealing things to me, well, then things changed. So never forget the God factor working in your life. He can orchestrate things and make it come to pass. Last scripture I want to look at now is Ephesians chapter 2, and it's verse 10. Should be a halfway familiar scripture in your arsenal. Everybody should have an arsenal of scriptures that you have in your life, you know, that you kind of go to every now and then. And this one says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Okay, so this passage tells us the idea that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. That word workmanship is has a special meaning in a sense that it insinuates that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. I don't know about you, but have you ever considered yourself a masterpiece in the hands of God? That God has, you know, we know that God, the Bible says that God formed us in the womb and God's known us from the beginning. But see, once we become born again, then we step into his plan. And it says that we're created for good works. And the fact of the matter is, we are the artistic result of skill and craftsmanship. Now there's some, you know, one thing, like I said, as an electrician, you know, something I like is I like neat work. I like it to look good when you walk away. I don't like it to be all sloppy, you know, and just kind of something thrown together. I want it to look like something if I'm done. If my name's on it, I want it to look like something. Take pride in your work. Well, God took pride in his work when he created you because you're his masterpiece. And he has put inside of you gifts and talents and things that are just special and unique to you because he has a plan for you of where you fit in the body of Christ. Now, my wife loves to do puzzles. I don't. You know, to me, puzzles are annoying. I'll be honest. I just don't have time for them. But, you know, I watch her work hours, if not days, you know, off and on in the evenings while we're there setting. And she's putting this puzzle together. And then she gets done, and there's a piece missing. To me, that's unfulfilled dreams right there. Wow, it's missing. But see, that's what it's like. Because you're a piece of the puzzle in God's plan. And if you're missing, you can't see the whole picture. See, this church is a picture of Jesus Christ. You know, and Jesus has put a little bit of talents in you and a little bit of talents in you and a little bit of talents in you. And when we all come together with those talents and those gifts, we represent Jesus, really. But see, if we're missing, see, a lot of people think, well, I'm not important. I can't really talk in front of people, and I don't really like kids, and I'm not much on, you know, this and that. And you just think, well, what can I do? Well, maybe you're good with paperwork. Amen? Maybe you're good with something else. Maybe you're more of a planner. You know, and God's put that inside of you. That's the way you're wired. And that's how you think. When you see things, you see it differently. I just was reading a book, and it was kind of interesting. It talked about the guy that, you know, I've never been to Washington, D.C., but the Lincoln Memorial. And if I'm not mistaken, if I read the article or the story right, was that that was made out of one piece of stone. Just chisel, 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 chisel. All of a sudden, there's Abraham Lincoln. You know what I'm saying? You know, wow, where'd he come from? And the guy had they had a big celebration, and he invited the lady that was the one who cleaned up after him, because every time he would break off some rock, somebody had to clean it up, and that was her job. She came and she cleaned that up, and she said, "I've always had a question." She said, "How did you know he was in there? How did you know Abraham Lincoln was in that rock?" He could see it. He could see him in that rock, and he just let him out. And see, we all have dreams and talents and desires, and see, God is like the master builder, and he can look at you, And what I remember when I first got saved was the fact that God was like taking a big hammer and a chisel, and he would break off pieces of me. You know, my machoism, my manhood, in a say that wasn't a healthy way of looking at a man, and things like this. And he would just break it and break it and break it and keep taking things out of my life. Because I let him. I said, God, I want what you want for my life. So he started working on me and breaking things out of my life. And then all of a sudden, I'm here. And I'm still getting things broke off me. But see, that's what God wants to do in each of our life. If we let him and we understand that he's the wise master builder and he's the master craftsman, we're going to let God work on our lives so that we can fulfill the call. See, God put the call out, but few are chosen because few answer with obedience. So if we're willing to let God do this and really want what he has, you know, because it doesn't really matter who we were, what matters is who we are. And I want us to see that. It doesn't matter what you were. You know, maybe you had things in your life that you did that you weren't proud of. That's me. Maybe you did things in your life that maybe hurt other people. That's me. But it doesn't matter what you were. What matters is what you are. And what you are is what you allow God to make through you. And as we do that, we're going to start to step in to the call, God's plan for our life. No matter how good we think our plan is, God's plan is better. Like I mentioned, I thought I had it all figured out. I've always been a planner. I've always went after things. But when I met God, I knew that, you know, his plan was always better. And when we follow his plan, what I found out in my life is that we start to feel whole inside. Because that's really what drives us to craziness and makes us do stupid stuff, is the fact that we're trying to fill this hole inside of us. But once we come into the hands of the Creator, the one who can mold the clay and the one who can make things out of nothing, then we start to feel that wholeness. You know, we look at things that look hopeless sometimes. And, you know, when we look at a situation in our life, all we see is impossibility, but God can see possibility. And we start to need to see things through his vantage point. You know, never forget the God factor working in our life. I want to close with this about our choice, because God has given us each a choice. You can do with your life whatever you want. I believe that. You can walk out of this church today and say, I never want to serve God. I just don't want God anymore in my life. And you can do that. I hope you don't. I hope you choose to stay true to God and be faithful to what God's word says. You know, because that's important. And see, that's why God gave us the Bible. It's kind of a blueprint or a plan of some things that, you know, we can stay in the lane. You know what I'm saying? Want to stay in the lane? You know, I get a kick out of that commercial, that guy getting a tattoo. You ever watch that one? I don't know. Here's this guy getting a tattoo, and, you know, the guy doing it's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a different cat. But anyway, he's there, and he's scratching on his arm or whatever they do, and the guy said, hey, he says, and he didn't have a picture on his arm. He said, aren't you supposed to put a trace on there and then follow that? He says, stay in your lane, bro, you know, meaning, you know, I'm the expert here, but he wasn't. I mean, that's the funniness of the commercial. But, you know, we need to stay in our lane and let God, you know, be the one that puts us in that lane. So firstly, talking about our choice, this idea of respond to the invitation. You know, we need to say, God, I want what you have for my life. Then we need to put on his righteousness instead of trying to justify our own. We don't need to try to stand out to God and say, God, look at me, look what I've done. No, just say, God, thank you for giving me them clothes, man. For putting your righteousness on me where I don't have to stand on my own. Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever found this out, and maybe you haven't yet, but you ever figure out there's always somebody better than you somewhere? Have we come to that point yet? There's always somebody somewhere better. But I tell you what, when we put ourselves in God's kingdom and we take on his righteousness, we're all the same. It doesn't really matter. If you really, I'll just throw this out. If you get a revelation of your righteousness in Jesus Christ, there is no place in this planet that you can't go that you'll feel inadequate again. Never feel inadequate again. You can go to the highfalutin and, you know, go see the president or some king or whatever it is, and you don't have to feel inferior. You know, maybe, you know, whatever the case is going on. But if you know who you are in Christ, you'll know that you're just as good as anybody else on this planet. And we need to get to that place, because that's when we're dangerous to the devil. See, the devil tries to make us feel inadequate. And when we feel inadequate, we're less apt to do something. So after that, we put on that rise. Then we need to accept the fact that God put us here at this time for a reason. What are we going to do with our life? What are we going to do with what God's given us? Is our goal just to, you know, make a lot of money and, you know, leave it to our kids? Or is our goal to make a difference, an impact on this planet, some way, shape, or form? That when we leave here, this place is a lot better than when we got here. And I believe that's what we need to do as a body. And then lastly, we're important to the Father, and we need to follow His plan. And maybe you struggle in self-image, and I think we all do from time to time. But we need to see that the Father put us here. He planned your life. You're not here by accident. You know, and God forbid, I know there's people whose parents have told them that you weren't wanted, or that, you know, you were an accident, that we didn't plan you, and that all you've been is problem in my life. And you know, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I've been told that from some people, what they go through. I want you to know that no matter if your parents planned you, God planned you. And God has a purpose for your life. And your life is important to God. And you're not in this alone. But God is with you every step of the way. Let's pray.